Palestinians clash with Israelis.
Israel's in the Persian Gulf.
Italian politics.
Food crisis around the globe.
Fighting in the Gaza Strip took a surprising new turn last Wednesday. The Zionist onslaught was beaten back, while throughout the fighting, Palestinian resistance managed to keep up its barrage of rockets and mortar shells toward the Zionist entity. Three Zionist soldiers were killed in the intense fighting in the Buraij area without any loss to Hamas Palestinian resistance's fighting men. However, earlier, Hamas said four of its fighters had been martyred and three wounded in a Zionist airstrike. On the ground in Gaza, while the Palestinian resistance exclusively engages Zionist occupation troops, the Zionist military, in stark contrast, almost exclusively targets Palestinian civilians. But the facts speak for themselves when fighting men from both sides take each other on. A half-starved Palestinian resistance manages to hold its ground and inflict casualties on a far better armed, fed and trained Zionist military. The Zionist regime just does not know how to raise its head after its shameful defeat in the 33-day war against Lebanon in 2006. The Zionist leadership is fully aware that another war against Hezbollah in Lebanon will lead to near total devastation of Israel. So, the Zionist regime has turned its attention toward the target it can destroy, defenseless Palestinian women and children. But the sell-by date for such practices are fast expiring after what the Western public have learnt about the Zionist regime's actions over the last 5 years through alternative 24-hour news channels that have brought the turn about occupied Palestine and the plight of its people to every living room around the globe. Help has even arrived from unexpected quarters. Jimmy Carter rebuffed a call from an Israeli lawmaker to halt his contacts with Hamas and senior leaders of the Islamic Resistance Group. Carter met a Hamas leader in the West Bank and also the group's top official Khaled Mash'al in Syria. Carter, a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, is on what he calls a private peace mission to the Middle East. The Zionist regime is in a sorry state both domestically and abroad. It has lost much political ground and has not possessed the high moral ground ever since the first UN resolution condemning its occupation of Palestinian territories was unanimously ratified. Despite recent Zionist military posturing, another war will prove a catastrophe for the Zionist regime since feelings in the entire region are running at fever pitch, especially after images of Palestinian women and children killed by Zionist tank fire are becoming commonplace in news programs. There cannot be prerequisites set by the Zionists to any peace negotiations between the two sides. The Zionist regime must acknowledge its regional position and return occupied Palestinian lands to its rightful indigenous population.
The unjustifiable presence of Israeli Foreign Minister Levnik at the 8th Doha Forum of Democracy, Development and Free Trade is a strange event that will have dangerous consequences for Persian Gulf security, The Qatari foreign minister officially invited the Zionist regime to attend the meeting, and on the sideline of the forum, Levni met Qatar Amir Sheikh bin Hamad Khalifa Al Thani, Prime Minister Sheikh Hamad bin Jassim bin Thani, and the foreign ministers of some Persian Gulf littoral countries. This ominous presence is a prelude to the implementation of the plan of Israel President Shimon Peres to penetrate into Arab countries' markets. Peres's economic outline for the Middle East was exposed after the Zionist regime and the Palestinian Liberation Organization signed the Oslo Accord in 1993. Israel had sought to take advantage of the atmosphere created by the arrangement to establish a presence of the Zionist army's defeat in the 33-day war against Lebanon, the Iraq crisis, the victory of Hamas in the Palestinian parliamentary election, and the terrible incidents in Gaza delayed the plan. But Zionist regime leaders are still trying to gain a share of the lucrative Arab markets. Israeli goods are currently bought and sold in Arab countries under European and US trademark. But breaking the taboo of buying Israeli commodities is one of the main goals of the Zionist economic strategy. It seems that attending conferences held under the pretext of democracy and development is the best choice for Israel to achieve this objective. Of course, Qatar has the right to devise its own foreign policy, but the Zionist regime's unjustified presence in the Persian Gulf threatens the security of the strategic region. The Qatari government's decision to invite Israeli officials to openly attend the Persian Gulf Forum while dozens of Palestinians are killed every day is a clear violation of the principle of cooperation and agreements among the countries on the two sides of the Persian Gulf. Now, many regional Arab nations, especially the Palestinians, might ask, what does the inhumane Zionist regime have to do with democracy? However, the citizens of Arab states are not politically, culturally, or psychologically prepared to accept the presence of the criminal Zionist regime. The Egyptian people are an example of this. 3 decades after establishing ties with the Zionist regime, Egyptians still regard Israel as their main enemy.
The return to power for the third time of Italy's Silvio Berlusconi is reportedly causing unease among other EU countries. This outspoken populist leader has not in the past minced his words about European politicians, most famously likening one heckling German member of the European Parliament to a concentration camp guard. But for Italy, the multi-billionaire media tycoon's overwhelming victory in last week's election may spell good news. The Italian economy, never completely robust or well-ordered, is in growing trouble. This time, the voters have transformed the political landscape. Berlusconi's party, formerly Go Italy, now called People of Freedom, with its partner, the Northern League, has clear majorities in both parliamentary chambers. More to the point, there are now just 6 different parties elected to parliament as against 24 previously. Even with proportional representation, many of the 120 contesting parties, including the once powerful communists, have been wiped out. Berlusconi, therefore, has demanded to drive through change, reform Italy's ailing economy and slash its mammoth bureaucracy. If he really embarks on this process, Italians may be shocked at the short-term hardships it will bring. Berlusconi's past record as premier shows that he ducked many of the difficult decisions that he says he is now determined to make. After all, this is the man who promised to clean up corruption but was himself indicted along with his brother for graft and only escaped prosecution by scandalously changing the law to protect himself. Additionally, Italy's new premier may have a business rather than a political background, but his business is the media that he dominates in Italy. There remain doubts about the wisdom of having political and media power gathered into the same hands in a modern democracy. Will he really apply sound business practices to his country's failing economy? Pundits are saying that his political partners, the Northern League, will keep him focused this time. The Milan-based League wants economic decentralization, thus allowing Italy's economic powerhouse, which they represent, to escape the dead weight of the mafia-dominated South, which drains large quantities of both Italy and the EU's budgets. This is effectively Berlusconi's third chance to get it right for Italy. The coming months will show if he is really the man to bring about fundamental changes.
The global economy isn't just facing an economic crisis due to the recession in the world's biggest economy, the United States, but a much more immediate crisis. It turns out the world's food supplies aren't as plentiful as previously imagined. Also, prices of basic foodstuffs have risen dramatically in the last few months, making it ever more difficult for the countless millions who live below the poverty line to be able to afford food. In fact, global food prices have risen by 75% since 2000. In the most recent developments, the World Bank has predicted the rise in the price of food items will continue to get worse before it gets better. Protests and riots have broken out all over the world over rising food prices, including in Haiti, Egypt, Mexico, Philippines, West Bengal, Yemen, England, Ivory Coast, Cameroon, Senegal, and many other African countries. Haiti's prime minister has been ousted following food riots last week. America is wrestling with its food wars inflation in 17 years. U.S. President George W. Bush and U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon have issued warnings on the food crisis, highlighting the seriousness of the problem. In Bangladesh, economists estimate 30 million of the country's 150 million people could be going hungry. As many as 100 million people in the impoverished regions of Africa will face imminent starvation and death. Analysts blame higher energy and transportation costs, as well as the rapid economic growth of China and India, as the primary factors for the crisis, and add as long as petroleum prices stay high, so will the prices of staple foods. High food prices are threatening recent gains in overcoming poverty and malnutrition around the world, and some experts fear a worldwide hunger epidemic if concrete action is not taken to stem the problem. Food plays the most dominant role in the existence of human beings. It can be reasonably argued that from mankind's basic physiological needs, food is more important and ranks higher than shelter, heat, water, and clothing. The bottom line is that only a small fraction of the world's population is active in food production, and for as long as people are not discouraged from the habit of expecting to eat when they are not producing, the global food crisis will not be improved.